Part of my goal this morning is to give you a desire for wisdom, a value for wisdom. I'll share this first. We're going to read part some of the verses in a second, but a lot of people ask each other in the church, what's your life verse or what's your favorite verse? And I don't always often have a life verse, but I have verses for seasons of my life. And probably one of the first verses that I can say at a young boy, at a young age, was my life verse for that season. I was reading through the Living Bible, not the New Living Translation, but it's the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase. And I was reading through that as a young boy. And Proverbs 4:7 is just the first half of it, was a phrase that was the lens that I viewed life through for several years. And Proverbs 4:7 in the Living Bible says, gaining wisdom is the most important thing you can do. It's the most important thing you can do. And so as a young boy, as I heard that, is wow. Okay, that's the most important thing I can do is gain wisdom. Not just information, not just knowledge. You all know that wisdom is different than knowledge or information. There are people that have several PhDs that are lacking wisdom. There are people that are down in Mexico that have never been to school that have a lot of wisdom. There's a difference. Wisdom is the ability to see, to make good choices. Really, that's what I tell my boys all the time. I want you to be wise. I want you to know how to make a good choice. Not just what sounds fun, not what just the worldly wisdom, but supernatural, godly wisdom. And so there's things that really, I mean, Scripture says this, that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise of this world. And so godly wisdom is not always what we think it is sometimes. And God's been doing this, like I said, that was a season of my life there, but it's really something that's been all throughout my life is, I want to be wise. I want to be a wise man of God. And so how do you get there? How do you get wisdom? And a lot of you have heard this before in the church, if you've been to church. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All right, so you've heard that before. But how do you get the fear of the Lord? And how do you do all these things? And so this morning, I want to share with you some of this beginning of wisdom. And so we're going to look first in Proverbs. Anyone, Sunday school trivia, who wrote most of the book of Proverbs? Solomon, King Solomon. All right, good. So we're going to read some of what he had to say in... before I get there, I have a little phrase at the bottom. The desire for wisdom. The degree you value wisdom determines the degree you will prosper. And when I say that word prosper, I know some of us in the church, we're kind of cringe because there is such thing as a prosperity gospel where there are things that are twisted, where there are some people that might teach that Jesus wants you to never be sick and to never experience any suffering or any pain. And so if you are, it means you lack faith. It means you don't have enough wisdom. I'm not one that's going to teach that. I do believe that God wants you to prosper, though, because it's all throughout His Word. Jeremiah 29:11, right? He knows the thoughts He thinks towards you. He wants to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. This is what God is. He wants to prosper you. He wants you to be healthy. He wants all these things. And so sometimes we go through difficulties to learn other things. But I want you to understand, God wants you to prosper. He's for you. Just as I'm I consider myself a good, not a perfect, but a good earthly father, I give good things to my sons. I want my kids and my daughter, my kids, I want them to prosper in life. I don't want them to be foolish. I don't want them to go through difficulties. And so there's this thing here that the higher the value you have for wisdom, really the more you're going to prosper. And I love that it dovetails. If you were here this morning in our Sunday school, we just kicked off a new Sunday school class this morning. It'll be going on for the next several weeks. But it's honors reward. And John Bevere is talking about how there's rewards that are waiting for us in heaven, but there's also rewards or blessings or things that you can prosper in here on earth. That if you learn to be wise, you learn to do these things, you guys... It's impractical, right? If you want to have a good retirement financially, there's things you can do to invest and to save and get a 401k and things you can do practically to be wise so that you will prosper later on in life. There's things that are just wisdom. The higher value you have for wisdom, the more you're going to prosper. And so I just want you to understand that. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I want to read this. It says this, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." And as I said, a lot of us are quick to say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We know that. Well, how do you get the fear of the Lord? We just read a whole bunch of this. If you see that, then, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So how do you get the fear of the Lord? As you see those bold things, it's treasuring, having this high value for wisdom. That if you don't have wisdom, the very first thing you can do is say, I want wisdom. There's this desire that I want wisdom. So I'm going to seek it out. I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to do these things that I'm going to start treasuring wisdom more than anything else. Proverbs 4:7. Gaining wisdom is the most important thing you can do. So as a young boy, man, I valued wisdom. It was something I was looking for, something I wanted. And so because of that, I said, oh, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. Then I've got to grow in some fear. I've got to come under the mighty hand of God, right? That he might exalt you in due time. There's these things that you come under, that you submit to. And as we just said this morning, that Jesus is not only my Savior, he's also my Lord. He's my King. And so the more I can fear him and come under him, the more there's wisdom that's going to happen, right? The fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. And so I'm just giving you this practical tool. How do you get wisdom? The first thing is you got to want it. If you don't want wisdom, you're not going to get it. You're not going to find it. As you read those next couple of verses, in verse 6 and 7, God has wisdom, and he wants to give it to us. But are we asking? It says, if you can read all throughout Proverbs, read throughout Scripture, it says that God gives wisdom to those who ask for it. He'll give it liberally. But are we seeking it? Are we searching for it? And so I'm telling you this morning, that's part of this message this morning, is I want to give each of us a desire for it. I can't make you wise. In fact, God's not going to make you wise if you don't want to be wise. There's got to be this desire for it. And so there's searching it out. And so that's important. This first thing is we've got to hunger and desire for it. And I love that it's highlighted in here. And I want to go to the Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I want to highlight something else to you. Right there in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Hear, my son." Now it says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me," I'm going to stop right there, because then it's in quotes. Who do we say wrote Proverbs? Solomon. Another Sunday school trivia. Solomon is saying, when I was my father's son, tender, the only one inside of my mother, who was his dad?
David.
King David was his dad. A little bit deeper Sunday school trivia. Who was Solomon's mom?
Bathsheba.
Those of us who know Sunday school, you know some story there. That King David was one of the, he was the man after God's own heart. Jesus is the son of David, right? Jesus is a descendant of David. David is this huge hero of our faith. But when you say David and Bathsheba, you don't think of such great things. You think of the lowest point in David's life. When he became a murderer. When he, scripture and scholars would say that he probably raped Bathsheba. And the first son that Bathsheba had from David died. So when you read these next few words, this is Solomon remembering when he was a young boy, Bathsheba's son. He remembers his dad, King David, who instilled this in Solomon. Why did Solomon ask for wisdom? We know the story that when Solomon became king, he had an encounter with the living God. And God showed up and spoke to him audibly, "Solomon, you can ask me like a genie. Ask me anything you want. What do you want?" Wisdom. I desire wisdom. I want wisdom. Where did that come from? Why did he want wisdom? Right here, we're seeing it. Because David's life. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a hero. David did all these great things for God. But in the low point of David's life, he realized some more history. David, he did these great things. Probably the lowest things in his life is Bathsheba, when he stole her and killed Uriah, her husband. Another low point in David's life is actually not being such a good father to his older sons. The first few sons he had, his eldest sons, he did not do a great job of raising them. They wanted to kill each other. In fact, one of them tried to kill David, take over his throne. So now Solomon is born after all this has happened. And David is saying, "Solomon, you've got to get wisdom. You've got to have a desire for it. If not, you're going to end up like me. You're going to make a foolish decision, and you're going to ruin the blessings of God." So there's a great urgency. If you read the Proverbs, when I read them and I see these things, "My son, listen to my commands." I can't help but think this is David telling Solomon with great urgency. Solomon, he's grabbed him by the shoulders. "Son, listen to me. You've got to have wisdom. You've got to treasure it. You've got to seek after it. You've got to, if you don't, your life is going to, it's going to be horrible. I'm telling you. If you exalt her, she'll exalt you." And you read all through the Proverbs, if you search after her like treasures, man, she's going to protect you. She's going to guard you. There's all these rewards and benefits if you make wisdom your goal and your aim. And so this morning, I'm trying to give you the sense of a desire for it. like King David was giving his son Solomon this desire for it. And so he says this: let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Gain wisdom. It's the most important thing you can do. Proverbs 4:7, a different translation. I'm wanting us as a church, I'm wanting us as individuals to understand that we need to have a desire for wisdom. Because God wants you to prosper, because God wants to bless you, He is a good Father, He wants to bless you, He wants to reward you. What good earthly dad doesn't want to give his kids good gifts? But there's times where I can't give my kids a good gift. I tell them sometimes, I take them to the grocery store, my wife will, okay, if you behave and there's no problems, I don't have to correct you this entire half hour in the grocery store, I'll let you have, you know, an ice cream cone at the end, or I'll do something. I want to reward you, I want to give you something good. But inevitably, my kids act foolishly, and they disobey. So they lose the reward. It's enjoyable for me to buy something good for my kids. I enjoy blessing them. But I would be a bad dad if I let them act foolishly and still reward them with something good. So there's these things that we need to understand. God wants you to prosper. He wants to bless you. But sometimes His hand is withheld because you're acting foolishly. And there's these things, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I do feel like I'm supposed to say this now. I've said several times this morning that Jesus is our Savior, and I don't ever want us to forget that. As you heard Claudine giving her testimony that He rescued her, that she was converted and she realized that God forgave her everything in the past. But I think the reason why God is having me say this is there's some of us in this room is we view God as our perpetual Savior. And sometimes that's not a bad idea. He's always my Savior. But at some point, I don't want to keep being the prodigal child that He has to keep rescuing. I don't want to be the older brother that's not thankful and is bitter. I want to become like Christ. I want to become like the father in the story. The story of the prodigal son, there's three characters, right? The father, the older brother, and the younger brother. The younger brother is foolish, squanders everything, and the good father forgives him, loves him, and breaks and brings him back. The older brother is actually foolish too. He's pious. He thinks he's wise. He thinks he's doing all the right things, but he has no relationship with his father. He's bitter. He's angry. He's foolish, even though it looks to the world like he's doing the right things. I don't want to continually be a prodigal son that over and over again Jesus has to keep rescuing me, keep saving me. Can I learn to grow wisdom so that I can be a good son in whom He's well pleased? Wisdom is, to me, the road to that. How do I please my Father? By being wise. It says that in Proverbs. You want to make your father and your mother happy? Be a wise son. There's these things that God is wanting us to learn wisdom so He doesn't have to keep rescuing us. So that somehow we change and convert from not just being the rescued to being the one who is the rescuer. At some point, I don't want to be the one that's always asking for people to help me. I want to be the benefactor. I enjoy that I'm getting to a place in my life where I am not wealthy by any means. But I have more money now than I did 20 years ago in my life. And it's enjoyable not just to pray, God, help me pay my bills. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. And God, how am I going to do that? And people help me, and people buying me things and taking care of me. And me growing up in my household, which is a good thing. My parents paying for everything. But there's time where I have to transition and become a mature man. And say, all right, now I'm going to take care of things. Now I'm going to take care of others. Now there's ways that I'm getting a little personal. There's things that I want to bless my parents. They've done their whole life blessing me and trying to take care of me. How wise would it be for me to say, hey, how could I take care of my mom and dad? And do you see that transition? That's wisdom for all of us in this church body. Instead of us being the people that are saying, oh, pray for me, oh, pray for me, oh, pray for me. You're the one that's looking to pray for other people. Man, how can I pray for somebody today? Do you see this switch here from foolishness to wisdom? Wisdom allows you to get there. It brings prosperity, where you're not constantly being the one that needs the help. It brings prosperity. Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? So the higher you value wisdom, the more you're going to prosper. We're looking at Solomon and King David's life, and you could do a whole series on both of them, on wisdom. But I want to look at another person, another story. And this is not just for the value of wisdom, but what's the next point? Not only do we have a value for wisdom, but we have to discern with wisdom. Not only do we desire for wisdom, we have to discern with wisdom. The wisdom you cultivate during prosperity will be the wisdom that sustains you during the famine. This is Joseph. The story of Joseph. So let me read to you the story of Joseph. There's a couple of verses I want to read to you. This is towards the end of the big story of Joseph. But in Genesis chapter 41, verse 37 to 39. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you." This is the king and the ruler of the known world, Pharaoh. Egypt was the ruling power of the known world. And he's saying about this one man, "Is there anybody as wise as you on the face of the planet?" There's this discernment that Joseph had. You know the story of Joseph. I'm going through all of it. But you know that as a young boy, he was his dad's favorite, right? Had the coat of many colors. And maybe some read in the story that maybe he wasn't so wise that he blabbed his dreams and shared with his brothers that, "Hey, one day you're going to bow down to me." You know, his brothers didn't like it. His brothers sold him, pretended like they killed him, sold him in slavery, and so that's how he ended up in Egypt. And even as a slave, where you would think that he's not prospering, his family doesn't like him, he's sold as a slave, but what does he do? He has wisdom at a young age. He has wisdom. He's able to discern and say, "You know what? But if I serve my master, if I come under him, no matter if he's good or bad, and I look for ways to prosper him, not prosper myself, how do I make his life better? How do I make him prosper?" And so as a young man, he does this. He wants to prosper his owner. And so quickly in Potiphar's house, this guy sees that God's favor is all over this man. Because God is pleased with wisdom. There's prosperity on wisdom. And so it's not hard for Potiphar to see, man, God's blessing this young man. I'm going to make him in charge of more things, in charge of more things. And pretty soon he's ruling this guy's household. We know, okay, then something bad happens again. Right? The wife, Potiphar's wife, lies and tries to rape Joseph. Joseph flees with wisdom. He has integrity and gets out of that situation. She lies about him and says that he tried to rape her. Not true. Thrown into jail. Man, all these bad things happen to this guy. But do you see how he prospers everywhere he goes? He's sold into slavery, prospers. Thrown into jail, prospers. In the jail, he becomes, the jailers see this guy and say, "Man, let me just give you the keys. Let me make you in charge. I'm going to sit back and do nothing because you do a better job than I do anyways as someone who's imprisoned." And so he runs the prison. He's prospering. No matter where he goes, he prospers because of wisdom. It's not, "Woe is me. I just need someone to rescue me and save me." No, how do I bless other people? How do I prosper other people? And right away, God's favor is all over this guy. And so the story goes, he's able to interpret dreams. God gives him this gift. And so then we know the baker and the cupbearer, they're thrown into jail and they have dreams. Joseph interprets their dreams and then they get released. And so later on, years later, Joseph is still in prison years after they get released. And Pharaoh has a dream. And he has this dream about these seven cows, fat, fat cows come up out of the Nile River and they're grazing and it looks good. And then these seven skinny, gauntly, ugly cows come up out of the river and they eat up the seven healthy cows. And then he has another dream. It's pretty much the same thing. These seven stalks of grain. Healthy, big, overflowing, healthy. And then these seven gauntly, weak. And they consume the other seven. And it says that none of the magicians, none of his wise men can interpret the dream. And the cupbearer says, "Oh, I remember there's a guy in jail that knows how to interpret dreams." He brings Joseph out. Joseph comes to Pharaoh. He tells him what his dream means. That there's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. We don't know for sure. I've heard a scholar, a Jewish rabbi, that he said that interpretation probably was not new. If you think about it, it's not really hard to figure out that dream. Anyone that's interpreted dreams before, that's not a real hard one. 7 years of fat, of good things, and then 7 years of bad things means 7 years of good things about to happen, 7 years of bad things about to happen. But what Joseph did was he had discernment through wisdom. He didn't just say, "Okay, here's what your dream is." He went further and said, okay, because of this dream, here's what you got to do. You've got to learn. You've got to live the first 7 years of plenty as if you're in the years of without. Have the same wisdom in the first 7 years as you're going to have the wisdom in the next 7 years. If you had nothing, no grain, you're barely going to eat any food. You're going to be very careful with everything you have. You're not just going to live a lavish life. You're going to be careful. You're going to use wisdom to make all of your decisions. If you have very little, you're very careful. And sometimes we, as churchgoers, as Christians, we live in plenty and we live foolishly. But Joseph had the wisdom to discern, say, all right, here's what you got to do. What was that saying that I had up there, right? That if you can discern, oh, where does it go? Go back, help me out. Go back to the title of this first one slide back. The wisdom you cultivate during prosperity will be the wisdom that sustains you during the famine. I can't help but think even two Sundays ago, we had Pastor Mark Coppersmith here. And he shared a graph. He showed about how a normal life has ups and downs, right? Everyone has things that go well. So there's a season of things going well and you're enjoying life. And then you have seasons that are difficult. And it seems like everything's going wrong. And it's hard and it's difficult. And he says, that's normal. Every human being goes through highs and lows throughout your life. That's just normal. But wisdom says, all right, the same wisdom that I need, that I'm desperate for God, I need somebody to help me when I have nothing, is the same wisdom you need to cultivate when you've got everything you need. If you read the stories of the Old Testament, the Israelites, they were in this continual pattern where God would bless them. They'd have everything they need, and they would forget God. Who needs God? And do whatever they want. And then God wouldn't bless them anymore, and things would get hard, and people would persecute them, and they'd be taken to captivity. Ah, oh, where's God? God, help us, save us. And God would save them and bring it back, and then they would prosper. And this whole cycle over and over and over again. And the story of Joseph is saying, guys, would you get some wisdom in your life? Stop doing this cycle. Stop crying out for God to always rescue you. Would you use the same wisdom? Would you be just as desperate as you are in the times of need as in the times of prosperity? Because too many of us, the reality is when things are going well, we take things for granted, right? Even secular songs say that, right? It's one of my favorite secular songs. Amy Grant sang it when she was, and then now other people sing it. But don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you got till it's gone. When things are going well in your life, it's amazing how quickly we forget to be thankful. You heard that word a lot this morning. It's amazing how we don't cultivate healthy relationships with people. We become independent. I got this on my own. The prodigal son. I don't need my dad. I don't need my family. I'm going to go have fun on my own. This is a better life, and he enjoyed part of it. And then it all fell apart. Oh, maybe I do need my dad. Maybe I do need my family. Go back. Why do we do that? I think it's because of lack of wisdom. So God is saying this morning, he's wanting us to desire wisdom, and then he's wanting us to cultivate wisdom. Don't just desire it when you desperately need it. Search after it when you already have some, when things are going well in your life. And it will sustain you during those times of difficulty. I feel like I refer to this more often than any other story, but because it's just ingrained in me. I can't help but think of the words that Paul wrote while he was in jail, commanding us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. There's only two times all throughout Scripture that he repeats his command like that. He's serious about it. It's not just a suggestion that, hey, you guys should try to be happy. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you've got to rejoice because Paul, he prospered. Just like Joseph, Paul prospered no matter what. You throw him in a prison cell, put shackles all over him, what is he doing? He's praising God all night long. He's finding ways to set the other captives free. I might be in physical chains, but you know what? The soldier watching over me, he's in spiritual chains. How can I set him free? He constantly sees himself as a place of prosperity. No matter what's going on in the world, man, I'm blessed. God is for me, not against me. It's ingrained in this wisdom. No matter what goes in my life, God is for me. He's got this understanding, and so that's what I'm saying. I'm not promising you that if you just gain wisdom, no problems are going to happen in your life. That's not wisdom. Solomon talks about a lot. Read Ecclesiastes. Man, vanity, vanity. Everything's vanity. He talks about how you can do all these things, it all falls apart. There's a lot of things that you're destined to encounter difficult times. But can you prosper in those difficult times? Through wisdom, you can. You can prosper. All right, he's got to move on to the next point. So we looked at Joseph. The one that I really thought I was going to hit on hard this morning is this last one, the story of Daniel. And defer because wisdom, that where I'm trying to keep them all D's. You got a desire for wisdom, you've got to discern with wisdom, and defer because of wisdom. What do I mean by defer? I mean by coming under, submitting to authority. We talked about Joseph did that. He constantly was under authority until, man, God blessed him so much, he was with Pharaoh, he was equal with Pharaoh. But it was because he continually submitted or deferred to the authority that was over him. And this is something I really want us to get a hold of, and I think this is part of what the Sunday school hours that Pat's teaching for the next several weeks is learning how to honor authority. And Daniel is the perfect example of this. Let's read some of Daniel chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 17, and we'll read another verse 2. But it says this, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I'm going to stop there even. He purposed in his heart. It's kind of that same thing. He said, I desire for wisdom. I desire to be righteous. I desire to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added unto me. He purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to disobey God's word. Whatever it takes, I'm going to obey God. Purpose in his heart. Then the next verse, or actually the second part of that verse, verse 8. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat the unacceptable foods. Do you see that? He purposed in his heart first, I'm going to fear God first and foremost. But then he deferred, because of wisdom, he deferred to the person that's over him. He asked permission. He didn't say, well, God's word says this, so I'm not going to listen to you. Probably got him killed. He came and asked permission. There was actually action behind it. It wasn't just this heart's desire, it then became action. That's what I love about that. There's something about it. All of us in this room, I think, after hearing part of my message already, yeah, I'd like some wisdom. I'll take some of that too. I like this. I like pie. I like Magic Mountain. I like this. I'll take some wisdom. But there's got to be action behind it. Daniel says, all right, I'm purposing my heart. This is what I'm going after, the fear of the Lord. I'm going to obey him no matter what. But now I'm going to take action. I'm going to defer and come under the authority that's right above me. The guy who's my boss, I'm going to go ask permission if I can obey God. Wait, what? You shouldn't have to ask permission from anybody. Wisdom says defer. Wisdom says come under the authority that's under you. And I love what the next verse says. I don't think it's by accident that it's a timing word, the very next one. After he purposed his heart, after he put action behind it, then it says, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of staff. When he purposed his heart, I'm going after wisdom. I'm going to put action behind this desire that God gave him favor with man. This is something that you read throughout Scripture, that even Jesus, the Son of God, it says in Scriptures, right, that he grew in favor with both God and man. How do you grow in favor? Wisdom, deferring to authority. He grew in favor with those that are over him because he was a wise man of God. So now God had brought Daniel to the favor and goodwill of the chief of staff. And so, if you know the whole story, he allowed Daniel to go on vegetables, not eat the meat that was portioned for the idols, that was sacrificed to idols, and they would give them. He wasn't going to do that. So verse 17, we're skipping some verses here. God gave knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So I love that. He purposed in his heart for wisdom, to obey God, to fear the Lord. He deferred to the authority that was over him. Authority, he got favor with man, but now he's getting favor from God. God gave him. It says in Scripture, right in Proverbs, God gives wisdom. God gave wisdom to Daniel. He gave him supernatural wisdom to discern dreams and interpret visions. So God gave him practical in the literature. He let him become book smart, but also wise and supernaturally wise. And so you see God bless him with that. And then verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined, he found Daniel 10 times better than all were in his realm. Kind of similar to Joseph, right? These guys that are ruling the whole known world are seeing these young men that have purposed in their heart that they're going to fear the Lord and obey him no matter what. But at the same time, they're going to defer and come under authority and make discernment through wisdom. All these things, just wisdom is, it's so obvious that these guys are so wise. So they're gaining favor. Pharaoh sees that. But this next verse I really want to hit. Verse 21. Thus Daniel continued into the first year of King Cyrus. To me, this is one of the most important ones. And you're like, wait, what? How is that important? That verse is spanning over 60 plus years. Thus, that verse before was that he was 10 times wiser. than everyone else in the whole realm, than all the people. Thus, Daniel continued for 60 plus years. Giving you some more background on the information. That means several kings changed. Even nations changed hands. It was Babylonian, then it was Persia. Leadership changed. Whole different administration changed over those 60 plus years. Meaning that sometimes there was a moral king. Sometimes there was an immoral king. Sometimes there was a godly king. Sometimes there was ungodly. Sometimes there was a Republican. Sometimes it was a Democrat. And he submitted and served and pleased each one of them. He deferred to all of them. When things were prospering, when things were famine, when things were going well with him, when things were he was praised and everybody loved Daniel, when people wanted to kill Daniel, he prospered. He had wisdom to serve no matter what. And I think this is huge for us to understand that if we can learn to come under people that we don't naturally want to come under, that's wisdom. I don't feel like it, but because I fear the Lord and because I want to please God, I'm going to submit to authority. And Scripture is packed with this, where Peter, even when Nero, I gave you a lot of history this morning. Nero, the Roman emperor, was killing Christians left and right. He wanted to get rid of the Christian faith. And Peter writes these words, "Serve God, honor the king." Wait, who's the king? Nero. Killing Christians. Honor the king. Come under, submit, try to find a way to be peaceable and bless them. Daniel, to me, is the epitome of this. The story of Daniel, wicked kings. I mean, I don't have time to go into all of it, but Daniel was, he was ripped out of his own family, out of his own house. We don't know for sure, but more than likely, Nebuchadnezzar, the guy that he had to come under, probably killed his parents. We don't know that for a fact. Definitely killed some of Daniel's family. And Daniel, this young man, said, "I'm going to purpose in my heart to serve the king. I'm going to obey God no matter what, but I'm going to find a way to bless this man, to make his life easier." Wait, what? This wicked guy? I think there's things for us to learn. This is wisdom for us to gain. No matter if you voted for Trump or not, and you just say that word, it's amazing how people get so tense. No matter what, as Christians, as Christ followers, as Bible-believing Christ followers, we submit ourselves to authority. You don't have to like your pastor, I'm your pastor or not. You got different pastors, different churches here. You might not agree with everything they say, but you are to come under, to submit, to say, you know what, how do I honor you? How do I show that I respect and I revere you, that I admire you, that I am thankful for what you're doing? And as I'm closing up, because I don't have time to get into a lot more, I want to segue this in a little bit into what we're doing this Tuesday night. We're coming to thank our first responders, our law enforcement that we have to come under. How many times have you seen it? I'm just being honest. How many times have you seen a cop and you got a little bit scared? Maybe because you're driving too fast. I think there's room for all of us to learn how to come under. To say, how do I honor our first responders, those people that are coming, they're chosen to make a profession to serve me, to protect me, to save me, to rescue me. And I don't want to make this such a huge guilt trip, but I just want you to understand we have an opportunity this Tuesday to follow wisdom. To say, you know what? I might not feel like coming out on a Tuesday night. I got better plans. But I'd like to grow in wisdom. I'd like to please God. I'd like to make a difference in this community. I believe that God brought this. This is not just something that happened by chance. That God brought our Lita Neighborhood Council to come meet on our church property every month. For us to partner with them to see a difference in this community. Because I don't think God's word is so selfish that God just wants to prosper you. Jeremiah 20:11 is just for you personally. God only cares about prospering you. I believe God wants to prosper this church. That he wants to prosper this city. So how do we do that? How do we as individuals, how do we as a church cause this city to prosper? There's got to be real and practical things that we can do. So this Tuesday night is just one of several opportunities that we're going to have to find ways to say, all right, how do I make this city prosper? How do I see God's favor on the city of Arleta? One of it is by honoring, submitting to authority, wisdom, God loves to prosper those who are wise. So let's be the church that comes under authority, that is thankful, that is grateful, that is deferring to our leadership. We're going to have possibly even some of our council members, not just our leading neighborhood council, but L.A., Nuri Martinez, her office will be here. There's going to be people here that are here. Who knows if they come? It doesn't regardless if they come or not. Last time we did, we partnered with them, the news media showed up, right? I would love for us to be known as people who just come to serve. This verse has been going through my mind all week long. I didn't even know how it fit, but I'm about to say it right now, so I guess God knows how it's fitting. But let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I said it in one of my prayers too. That though he was equal with God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped or hold on to. But he gave up all of his rights and took the form of a servant. So far to even die for us on the cross. He came to serve, not to be served. Our firefighters, our first responders, it says it on the side of the police car, to protect and to serve. How do we choose to be the servants? I just want that mindset to be our mindset as a church. How do I serve our police officers? Man, they're getting paid to serve me, but I'm following Christ to serve them. So as I'm wrapping this message up, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because I think there's things that God could be saying to us as a whole church. But as I prayed this morning, is somehow that he would feed each one of us individually. And like I said, I love that God's such a good father that he disciplines, he corrects, he shows the truth to those who he loves. He's not a dad with a big stick ready to hit us. He's just ready to show us truth. And the truth will set you free, right? The truth will cause you to prosper. The truth will cause you to live abundant life. And so this morning, what area do you need wisdom in? Are you seeking and searching after wisdom? Maybe that's your prayer this morning is, man, I wasn't even looking for it. I've got to search for wisdom. Jesus has been my Savior. I've got to learn how to fear him more. I've got to learn how to come under his lordship. What discerning do you need to have that you can cultivate wisdom in the times of blessing so that when those times of crisis come, it's not everyone needing to come to your rescue. But like Paul, the time of crisis, being thrown into jail, he's looking to be the blessing. And so we're going to end this service as we always do with one last worship song. And if you need prayer for anything, we're going to have some leadership up here available just to pray with you. And like I said, anything at all. If you've got a physical ailment, we want to pray with you. But if there's something the Holy Spirit is really tugging on your heart, don't be foolish and leave without responding. If the Holy Spirit is saying something to you, maybe you need to seek counsel from other wise people. Maybe you know some wise people in this room and you need to ask for advice. Or can you just say, can you just pray with me? I want that same hunger for wisdom. So would you bow with me as you just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to have his way?